Okay, everybody. Parshas Vayakel. Now, this week's part, we also have Parshas Shkalim this week, right? Which is the first of the four Parshios. We're not going to talk about that today. That actually we talked about last week in Parshas Kisisa, right? Because it's the first, few psukim of Kisisa. But Parshas Vayakel is not often read by itself. Usually comes with Pekudei, and it also is kind of just a rehash of Parshas Terumah. With the building of the Mishkan and the Kalim and stuff like that. Parshas Pekudei deals with the Big Day Kahuna and the setting up the Mishkan, etc. That would be a rehash of Parshas Tetzaveh. So Vayakel doesn't really get its time to shine. And we'll spend a few minutes trying to give Vayakel its just due. If you look at the Parsha a little bit, just to recap, it's not a long recap. It's the first three psukim of the Parsha talk about Shabbos. Right? And then the rest of it talks about the actual constructing of the Mishkan, the actual building of the Kalim, as opposed to Parashas Terumah, which talked about the command to build the Mishkan, why it's repeated. We'll get to it a little bit later. The other, obviously, many approaches. But let's first start with the beginning of the Parsha, and then we'll move on to the Mishkan. So the Parsha starts off, Vayakel Moshe. Right? And Moshe gathered all of Bnei Yisrael and told them about Shabbos. Right? Sheishis Yomim Tasem Alecha, V'yom HaShvi'i, right? The seventh day is Shabbos. Gives an example of one of the 39 malachos, the only one that's explicit in the Chumash, which is Losuvaru Ish B'chol Moshe V'Seichem B'Yom HaShabbos, right, not to burn fire. The other one that's alluded to that the Gemara says is Hotzah, but it's not as explicit, right? It says straightforward, right? Don't burn fire in Shabbos. So what's the deal? In the first few psukim, for whatever reason, the Torah decides to insert a few lines about Shabbos before we get to like all the architecture, yeah? So what does Shabbos have to do with the Mishkan? So again, as you are possibly aware, depending on your kind of level of schooling and stuff like that, how much elementary school, high school, seminary, whatever you've finished. So the Gemara tells us, right, in Shabbos Daf Mem Tes, that the definition of malacha on Shabbos is derived from the Mishkan, right? Any important job that was done building in the Mishkan, right, is malacha, and therefore, right, it's usher on Shabbos. The Gemara there doesn't quote a pasuk, but Tosas over there points out it's because in our parsha, those two topics are written back to back, and there's elsewhere, right? It's not the only place, right? Other places, I think in Parsha Kisisa as well, right? There's a mention, yeah, because it talks about makes kiddush right at the end of right. This Shomer Bnei Yisrael Shabbos right at the end of Rishon over there. Okay, either way, right? So that's where we get the 39 malachas of Shabbos. Before you get even to the question of what Shabbos and the Mishkan have to do with each other, and there are many approaches, the first thing that really you have to discuss is something that's a little bit more relevant, perhaps, and that is, what is the entire point of not doing malacha on Shabbos? Right? Most of us grow up with the kind of day, right, understanding that Shabbos is a day you can't do stuff. Right? What is the point of not doing stuff? Right? What does that even accomplish? Right? Why is refraining from malacha on Shabbos such a big deal? Like, okay, I get it, right? Shabbos, Hashem created the world, good. When we rest, He rested, we rested. Like, what does that do anything? We're like commemorating like a historical event, right? That's, like we sit in Sukkah on Sukkos and we eat matzah on matzah, so we also don't do malacha on Shabbos. Like that doesn't make sense because we have a ridiculous list of halachos, right? If you ever learned Hilchos Shabbos, it's forever, right? There are many, many details, right? We're not just turning off our alarm clocks and sleeping until 2 in the afternoon, which kind of sounds nice, but most of us are not doing that, right? Shabbos is about building an experience. So what is the malachos of Shabbos? Well, how does it like help us quote-unquote keep Shabbos, which I, by the way, hate that translation. What does that even mean? Right? What do you keep Shabbos in your pocket? Like, what does that mean? I don't even know. Anyway, what does it mean to be Shomer Shabbos? What does it mean to not do malacha? So to understand this, we need to take a step back, right, and go to a pasuk that you're aware of, right, that you're probably familiar, right? The pasuk says at the end of Bereishis, right, the end of creation, right, well, that's really what I meant, right, Vayichal Elokim b'yom ha'shvi'i melachto asher asah, Vayishbos b'yom ha'shvi'i mikol melachto asher asah, that Hashem finished all the work He had done, and Vayishbos, and He rested, and He abstained, He held back, right, on the seventh day from doing the work which he had done previously. And the Tanhuma, the Medrash, asks, I don't understand. The pasuk says Vayichal, right, Hashem finished His work, and then it said that He rested, that He abstained from doing work. Meaning, so which is it, right? When you finish work, that means you are doing work, right? That means you're completing, right? When you abstain from doing work, that means you're not doing work. So what does it mean? What does that mean? So Medrash says that actually it's both. Meaning, on the seventh day, Hashem created rest. Now, what does that mean? At the very least, right, what it means is that there is some sort of creation that we're trying to accomplish through our abstaining from work. Right? It's not a passive sit back, fold your arms and do nothing. It's an active. There's a goal. There's a vibe that you're trying to create. It's somewhat of a paradox, but Rav David Foreman, right, if you ever you go to alephbeta.com, fantastic. Right, if you ever read his Svarim, fantastic. Can't recommend them enough. The beast that crouches at the door is an unbelievable shot, you know, safer on Bracious and other topics. So anyway, so he explains in a beautiful way. He says, consider if anybody is artistic, right? He says, he explains, Mamish, fantastic. He says, let's say, you know, you're creating a work of art. And even if you're not, you know, artistic, let's say you're writing a term paper, right? You're writing a school paper or whatever it is. So for you take hours and weeks and maybe months, maybe if you're really, you know, maybe if you're really deep into it, maybe even years, right? Let's say a painter, right? To work on a painting, right? You're choosing colors, you know, you choose brush strokes and shading and not, you know, whatever. I don't really paint, but you know, all that type of stuff. And not to mention actually doing the painting. So when the artist decides that they've had enough, right? So you're actively choosing to stop, right? You could probably keep editing that painting forever, right? If you're writing a novel, you could probably edit that novel to death. You could, if you're writing a song, you could always tweak something. But when the artist decides that they're done, that's an act of creation because now the artwork stands on its own, right? Whenever the artist decides that they're finished with their project, or let's say even if you're writing a term paper, right? Whenever you're done, then you're done. And that is your paper, right? That is an act of creation in and of itself. So what we're trying to do on our Shabbos is that we're trying to create something, right? By our abstention. We're trying to conjure an experience, an atmosphere, like a vibe, and that will impact, right, our lives. Again, Shabbos is not just a bunch of abstract laws that Kosh Baruch Hu just threw upon us, said, hey, don't do this, right? Holding back from Malacha is a creative activity in order to grow our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Sforno says that we get a neshama yisera on Shabbos, an extra soul. I don't know if that means like metaphysically, right? But the Sforno writes that it means we manifest an extra ability to understand what Hashem wanted from us when he created us. And what that means, right? We have an extra spirituality, an extra ability to understand spiritual things. But how do we, again, going back to the original source and the original question, how do we accomplish that by being Shomer Shabbos, by not doing Malacha? I get it. Hashem rested on the seventh day. Wonderful. We're trying to create a vibe. We're trying to be creative with our abstention. Wonderful. What are we trying to remember? What does it accomplish when we don't do Malacha on Shabbos? So again, just to go back to the pasuk we said before, right, we have to look at Kiddush on Friday night. I take it back. That pasuk is by Kiddush on Shabbos day. But let's look at the Kiddush Friday night. It could be that you could learn from there also. But Friday night Kiddush, we mentioned that Shabbos is both Zecher Maisa Breishis, right, and the Zecher Tzias Mitzrayim. Right, we're trying to remember creation and Yetzias Mitzrayim and leaving Mitzrayim. So obviously we understand how Shabbos reminds us of creation, right? Sixth, seventh day, etc., etc. What in the world does Shabbos have to do with leaving Mitzrayim? So to understand that, and to the crux of our question, you have to understand what the definition of Malacha is on Shabbos. Most of us translate Malacha as work, right? Which, you know, kind of brings up images of like schlepping heavy boxes or doing, you know, putting on a construction site hat and like doing some like real labor that needs to be done. But if you know anything about Hilchos Shabbos, right, effort and exertion is not a barometer of whether something is mutter or usser. Right, schlepping up a suitcase five flights of stairs is not usser. But if you strike a match, right, that's usser daraisa. Again, walking 10 miles to shul is not usser, but tying your shoelace in a certain type of knot, right, so that is. Right, so again, so exertion is not, right, a determining factor. So what is malacha? So Chazal explained, or Chaim, you know, for example, in Shmos and Perek Chaf, Pazaches, so he writes that malacha is not effort-filled work. It's not laborious. It's creative. Malacha on Shabbos is creative actions. When we refrain from doing creative actions, like, for example, striking a match and creating fire, like we said in this week's parsha, so we're testifying that Hashem is the ultimate creator. So how is that? So watch this. So when you cook a dish, right, let's say you make, I don't know, brownies or a cake or whatever, so you put in all the ingredients, good, flour, water, eggs, you know, half a cup of flour, two eggs, a cup of sugar, a third of a cup of cocoa, half a cup of canola oil, a bit of vanilla, all the chocolate chips in the world. Good. So you put everything in. That's a real recipe, by the way. if you put it all in a bowl, you mix it around, put it in a pan, throw it in the oven. Fantastic. So I'll ask you a simple question. Who's doing the cooking? Yes, I get it that you put all the ingredients in. Yeah? But who did the cooking? Right? Who created the natural law that when you bake all that stuff together at 375 Fahrenheit or whatever for 25 minutes, that turns into cake? Who says? Like, what? Who said? We know it's true, but like, where do we get that? That was a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? Kodesh Baruch Hu dictated the rules of this world when he created it. Right. So when we rest on Shabbos from creative actions, we acknowledge and we remind ourselves that Hashem is really the one creating things. Even though we're doing the ishtadlus down in this world, we're putting in the effort down in this world, it's really Hashem who's actually doing stuff. Right? We testify and we remind ourselves that Hashem is the one who created the world, its laws, etc., etc. And therefore, even though we put in work for 6 days, we work for 6 days, but on the seventh, right, we remind ourselves that Hashem is the one who actually enables all that work, to take effect, right, to happen. And that's why Shabbos is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, because there was no other time that there was such an open display of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control over the world. Right? When Hashem split the sea and caused hail to rain down with water and with ice and fire together, and water turned into blood, yada, yada, yada. You know, as Ramban writes at the end of Parshas Bo, right? Hashem's open miracles prove that he controls all of the natural law, all the hidden miracles on an everyday basis as well. Because if he could, you know, change it, that means that he controls it every single day. Right? That's what we say. Mechadesh b'tuvah kol yom tamid ma'aseh b'reishis. We say in Shacharis that Hashem is always being mechadesh ma'aseh b'reishis every single day. He consistently controls nature all the time. And that's why refraining from using your phone on Shabbos, for example, right, testifies that Hashem created the world. Because it reminds us that Hashem set in place the natural worlds for that phone to work and for the physical world to live in to function, right? Our success, and it reminds us that our success and the hatzlacha we're getting in studying or parnasa or shiduchim or whatever it is, all of that is due to Hashem. So we therefore take one day a week to remind us that the creation that we do is really the creation that Hashem is enabling. Right? And that's why Shmir Shabbos is so crucial to Judaism, right? That's why the Gemara says in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yud Ches, right, anyone who shomer Shabbos is even forgiven for Avodah Zarah. And on the flip side, right, Chazal say anyone who's not shomer Shabbos as if you worship the Avodah Zarah. So when you're shomer Shabbos, you're testifying that Hashem created the world and continues to do so. Right? When you're not shomer Shabbos, what are you really doing? Again, you may not realize this, but what a person is doing when they're not shomer Shabbos is you're saying that I'm in control here. Right? All of this stuff happens because I do it. Because I go to work and I, you know, pay the bills and I do this and I do that, not because Hashem is helping me. I'm the one who's making the cake. Right? Hashem is not involved over here. That's why a Shabbos is so crucial. That's why we use Shabbos as a definition of whether someone is a religious Jew or not. Right? It provides us for a one-day recharge to refocus our lives and remind us exactly how the world works. That we put in the shtadlus, but Hashem runs the show. Right, that we are able to unplug from the world of creation and plug into Hashem. Like, as this Forno said, we tap into spirituality. Right, we can, you know, whatever metaphor you want. Right, we wipe our glasses, you know, put on different lenses, whatever it is. And that perhaps, right, can help us understand the connection between Shabbos and the Mishkan, because the Torah already told us, right, in Parshas Tetzaveh, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will set up, what's the point of the Mishkan, v'shachanti b'socham, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would rest amongst us, would dwell amongst us. Right, the entire purpose of the Mishkan was to have Hashuas HaShchina, for Hashem's presence to be amongst Am Yisrael. Right, like a king who set out a throne room so his servants could come and meet him. Right, that was the purpose of the Mishkan. Right, that is literally the same thing. Shabbos is literally the same exact thing. Right, it's time for us to meet with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Bnei Yisrael to remind ourselves, right, that how this world really, really works. As many have explained, Shmuel Golden, for example, illustrates it very beautifully in his Sfarim, so that Mishkan was a sanctification of place, and Shabbos is a sanctification of time, and both of them for the same purpose, for us to recognize, right, that Hashem is the true creator, and he's really the one running the scenes. When you understand that as the definition and purpose of Malacha, it's a completely different picture, right? It's no longer a day of, like, I just can't do this, can't do that. You're trying to accomplish, you're trying to remind yourself how to live your life, right? It becomes an opportunity, right? It's not, it literally becomes a day where you can refocus and recharge. Not because you can sleep forever, even though that's fine, but it really is a way to remind ourselves, right, who's really running, right, every aspect of our lives, and who we have to have a karzat tov to, right, for everything that we have been given. Okay, let's move on a little bit to the Mishkan again. I don't want to beleaguer the Mishkan because, you know, we had Truma, Tetzava, we have Pekude, we had a little bit of Kisisa. But one thing I do want to mention, right, is all of the details, right? The Parshas Vayakhel is literally a repetition of the exact same stuff we had in Truma. Why in the world do we need all this? Right? The Torah does not waste words. As you know, the Gemara routinely learns out not only different things from extra words, but extra letters. Right? What could be the purpose of repeating, right, basically the entire second half of Sefer Shmos, right, into another couple of parshas? So there are a lot of, like I said before, there are a lot of approaches, just to name a couple. Rav Hirsch writes that the command to build the Mishkan was given before the Chet HaEgel, right? And the parshas of Yaakov and Kudei were after the Chet HaEgel. Meaning, and so as Rav Hirsch points out, right, Bnei Yisrael had committed like the greatest sin of all time, or one of them, right? And their whole opportunity to build the Mishkan was in question. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, allowed, right, them to kind of, you know, to build it, right, so that was, they had to repeat it, right, because the situation of Am Yisrael was completely different, right? We were supposed to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without a Mishkan, right, and then you know, we blew it, right, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of let us do it again. So, you know, we had to have a totally new mindset. You know, it could be that maybe before they wanted to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through an eagle or through some sort of intermediary, so they understood, right, they had to understand that that's actually false, that, you know, that it was just a means, right, to a relationship. Perhaps, you know, that, you know, I would argue that perhaps is another lesson for the repetition, and that lesson is repetition itself. The Gemara Chagiga says in Daf Tes, right, that somebody who studies something 100 times, right, a famous Gemara, right, is not the same as someone who studied it 101 times. Right, the Gemara Erevin and Daf Nun Dalad, right, says that Rabbi Pareda had a Talmud who couldn't learn, wasn't able to remember so much. He chazered something with him 400 times. There was some sort of hezek hadas, and then he had to do it again. Right, and then so long story short, this Chazal talk about Chazorah all the time. And my Rebbeim and Yeshiva also always talked about Chazara, Chazara, Chazara. Could be, perhaps, the Torah itself wanted to impress upon us the importance of Chazara, of reviewing what we've studied. And maybe the best way for the Torah to do that was to repeat the most tedious and detail-filled topic, would perhaps arguably boring, Chas HaShalom, even though it's not really boring. But people, I would accept boring as a potential descriptor. Right? People do Shnai Mikra, right? Have a rough time, right? Once you start Mishpatim, Truma, Tzava, and get to the Vakal Pekudei, okay, there's not Rashi, but long story short, perhaps the Torah repeated the Chumash by the details, right? Just an important part upon us, the importance of Chazara. Like, why shouldn't we know the details of the Mishkan? Like, we know the back of like some guy's baseball card, right? Or some movie star's history or whatever it is, right? Why can't we know that, right? Again, I remember, you know, when one of my kids came home from school one week when he was little, I think it was my oldest, but I don't remember, right? So he listed the 14 out of the 15 Matanos Kahuna, right, or the Matanos that Bnei Yisrael gave to the Mishkan at the beginning of Parshas Truma, and he forgot the Ketores and he was upset about it. So why shouldn't we know all the details? Right, so the Torah repeated every single detail, right, to show us that every detail is important, right? Every little bit of Torah, every bit of knowledge of understanding, these details are invaluable, right? And you have to chazer them, right? You have to chazer them, and, you know, to really accomplish in learning. And the Torah wanted to impart on that. And again, we call it study Torah, right? When that's the phrase we use, right? I hate translations. I despise many, many translations they have. But Limud Torah, right? Translated as studying Torah, is probably better translation than learning Torah, because studying, you have to study something. You have to study it, right? You can't just read it once. Right, you got to actually study. You show up to the test, right? You can't just, if you just glanced at the book, right, you know nothing, right? You have to actually study it, right? You have to go over it. So perhaps the Torah wanted to impart on that. Okay, one more detail from the building of the Mishkan. I just wanted to highlight because I think it's important. In the midst of covering the building of the Mishkan, the Torah says that in Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Aleph, Vayas Betzalel Es Aron, that Betzalel made the Aron, which is a little bit weird because, as you may know, Bezalel was the one who made the entire Mishkan, right? He was the architect, right? He made everything, right? So the Torah tells us, actually twice, right? The second time, that Bezalel was the one in charge. So here the Torah says specifically that Bezalel made the Aron, right? Of course he made the Aron. Why in the world would the Torah highlight that? So Rashi says, And his answer requires explanation, right? He says that because he put his neshama, right, into the more, he put his soul into the work, he put his neshama, he put himself into the work more than anybody else, right? He put in more effort. But that doesn't really answer the question, because Bezalel, first of all, was supposed to, right? He was in charge, right? Obviously. And second of all, he was brilliant, right? The Torah tells us that he was, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else, right? He gives all these, right, the Chorash Koshev, he knows how to do this and how to do that, right? He was a genius. He was an architectural genius. So obviously he put in more work. He was the guy in charge, right? Why does that make a difference? So I try to shy away from this style of Dvar Torah, but here it's very, very powerful. As with many Dvar Torah, the question is really the answer, right? We know people, everybody here, everybody listening to this right now, knows people who are insanely smart, right? And get by without studying at all, right? We hate those people, right? There's always that kid, guy, girl, gets 95s on the test without studying, is upset that they got a 95, right, because they missed something that, quote-unquote, was obvious, right? We hate these people, right? They don't put in every effort. There are tons of talented and brilliant people out there, but being gifted does not necessarily mean that you put in the most work. And perhaps it even behooves a person, right, who is more gifted, right, to put in more work, because if the average person with an average intelligence would work the same as a person with advanced intelligence, right, the person with advanced intelligence would do more. So it's, and if you would go up the chart, right, if you would combine that, if you would multiply that, right, the person with, you know, who's more gifted would accomplish more in their life, right? It's almost obligated, right? You have these gifts, right? You're almost obligated, right, to put in, right, more effort. I heard countless shmuzes from my Rebbe, Rav Yonasan Sacks, about Amelus and learning. He would talk about how hard he worked all the time. Just to relate a story, I remember when I was first at my Bechor, when I had my first kid, I was learning in Kolel with him. He was had a summer Kolel in Teaneck. And my first kid was born, and I was a zombie. Absolute zombie. Was barely sleeping, right? Little newborn, first kid, right? Obviously up all night. I was showed up to Cole an hour late, passed out. It was a disaster. So I went to Rav Sacks and asked him, what am I supposed to do here? So I'll never forget what he told me. I guess I expected him to be like, okay, roll in half an hour late, no problem, right? You know, make it up, etc. I figured he'd get me, I don't know what I thought he was going to say, but maybe he thought I should, you know, go to bed early and then stop learning night seder. He said that I should stay up with the baby, because when the kid finally learns how to sleep, the kid will sleep through the night. I'll be used to sleeping only 3 or 4 hours a night, and then I could spend the rest of my time learning. So that was where he was holding. And oh, by the way, Rav Sacks has a photographic memory. Right? We asked him about it all the time. Right? He said, and he would always say, it's something I worked on a lot. A photographic memory, something he worked on a lot. So that having the brains does not mean, right, you don't have to work. Right? On the contrary, right, you do have to work. And that was the schus of Bezalel. Bezalel was head and shoulders above everybody else in terms of ability, but he also was head and shoulders above everybody in terms of work ethic. And that's why Hashem rewarded him and wrote that. He wrote the Aron. Yeah, the Aron is Torah, is Torah Shabbat. But right, he was the one, right, the Aron is the highest of all the Kalim. Right, he outworked everyone else. And that's what Rashi was trying to teach us when he made a comment that's why the Torah were, because Bezalel worked extra hard. Because very often, right, people, unfortunately, who are the most gifted, right, take it way too easy, right, when they could be accomplishing so much more than the rest of us. All right, well, wish everybody a tremendous Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh Adar is on Sunday. Very exciting. Mishnichas Adar Marbe B'Simcha. Am Yisrael definitely needs a Simcha. All right, so we'll wish you a tremendous Shabbos, and we'll see you next week. All right, I'll speak to you guys soon.